In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, again, it's good to be back after a little time away, visiting some family back in my hometown. I was reminded in my hometown about, when I was growing up, the different tasks I had to do when I was young. And I know this is kind of funny to talk about gardening, especially when it's snowing outside and it's, you know, 80 below frigid. But when I was about 12, I got assigned the task of taking care of the yard. I think it started with my dad saying something like, "Mow the lawn, Matthew, it'll just take 5 minutes." And other lies my dad told me. And so I would go out and I'd mow the lawn, but I'd also have to do all the trimming. And we had this patio in our backyard, and most of it was concrete, but there was a portion of it that had limestone, paving stones, with mortar in between. Well, the limestone portion of the patio was a pretty old portion, and so the cracks had started opening up between the stones. And up between the cracks, you'd get grass growing. So I'd go out there with the weed eater, and I'd buzz it all down. I thought, well, that was taken care of, no problem. You know, strangely, 2 weeks later, that pesky grass grew back. So I'd go out there again with the weed eater. Well, after a few times of doing this, I got tired of this. Well, I'm pretty sure I knew the answer. So I went and I got Roundup. But, you know, of course, I'm 12, so I got, you know, the big thing. You know, the thing you put on your back and you have to pump and, you know, with the sprayer. So I'm out there, and I mean, I'm just going at it. You know, everything, every little bit of crack I can find, it's getting Roundup. All right, problem solved. But wouldn't you know, I mean, it took a little longer, but the grass started growing back again. Well, it happened to be in some class I learned I was taking in school, I learned that when the Romans came through, they would salt conquered a territory, they would salt the earth to make sure nothing would grow back. Well, worth a shot. So I'd go out there with a can of salt, and the grass grew back. Well, pretty soon I figured, well, if I can't beat it, may as well just let it go. So this portion of the patio, while my parents weren't looking, I just let grow. And pretty soon the grass grew outside of the cracks and over the stones. And by the next summer, it was like just part of the lawn. Until my mom asked, "What happened to the patio?" Well, plants are pesky like that. They will grow no matter what you do. And these are the kind, and grass is the kind of plant that you want. But what about those pesky weeds? Weeds are another thing. Weeds will grow back whenever you want them. And I know a lot of people will say, well, weed is just a plant you don't want. But there's a certain variety of plants that really seems to grow under any condition. A year or two ago, I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about this factory site in Britain, that the factory had been abandoned, and the land was so toxic, nothing would grow on it, except there were a few plants that actually grew up in this toxic ground. And somebody made the observation that these are the same plants that are the weeds that I'm pulling every week out of my garden. And another person, after reading this, went back and was doing pollen studies from archaeological digs and found that these were the same plants that they were dealing with thousands of years ago. These plants just would not go away. Weeds are unwanted plants, but they're not just unwanted plants, they're resilient plants. And I would argue that weeds are actually the most hopeful of the plants. Isaiah tells us, "A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is a message of hope. It is a message of Advent, this time, this season of hope. And we often think about Advent as we look around, we see the snow outside, the Christmas movies are playing on TV, we hear the Christmas music playing in the stores, the decorations are out, and we tend to think about Advent only in the context of that time leading up to Christmas. And indeed, it is that time leading up to Christmas. But Advent is much more than that. It is not unintentional that Advent falls at that time when the days are growing shortest, when darkness is growing. And in fact, we will hit the very end of Advent at the same time that things are turning around and that light will come back. It is a season when our world is getting darkness, getting darkest, and we remember that the light to come is on its way. The light of the world will come. It is a real and tangible reminder that no matter how bad things get, no matter how dark the world looks, how intense that darkness feels, we are never left on our own, and the light of the world is to come. It is a time that reminds us that relief is always around the corner, that there is always redemption. Isaiah's vision of the tree that is chopped down only to produce a new branch is a reminder of this abundant and generous hope that we are given in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't just end there with this tree. In fact, Isaiah says that God will judge with righteousness. And on top of that, nature, very nature, will be turned on its side. The wolf will live with the lamb, and a child will lead them. The absolute absurdity of this. Natural enemies, predator and prey, living in harmony. It goes against everything that we know, and on top of it, they will be led not by an ancient sage, not by a powerful warrior, but a little child. It is counterintuitive. It goes against the fabric of everything we know. And then Isaiah goes on with this utopian vision. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. This is a vision where all is right with the world, all needs are taken care of, and yet this is accomplished in ways that we see go against the natural order of things. It is the impossible becoming possible. As we remember this week the death of Nelson Mandela, I am reminded of one of his quotes, which is, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Isaiah tells us that God puts things right, but God will do this on God's own terms. Now, with this message of hope that we've heard, this message of hope in Isaiah and reflected in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we hear all this talk about hope and these things to come. But then there's a strange juxtaposition that these two readings are placed up against this reading we heard about John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes a little bit of a downer. Here we're having our celebration, and John the Baptist kind of rains on our parade. John the Baptist begins preaching repentance. And the gospel writer even makes reference to Isaiah. This is the one whom Isaiah was speaking about, who said he was a voice in the wilderness saying, "Make straight the highway for our God, prepare the way of the Lord," talking about John the Baptist. So things start off okay. You have a little bit of a hopeful message, repentance, turning around, and then come in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And all of a sudden, John changes his tune, and he says, "You brood of vipers." Ouch. And then he goes on. He takes down our message of this tree that is hopeful, and he says, "Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now, this is a strange message coming off of our bit of a joyous high as we're hearing the message of hope. We just heard about how children will be playing with snakes and that the tree will grow back. And certainly, John the Baptist must have known about Isaiah's vision. But at the same time, he's using these same images. He's using the same term. And he leaves little hope for these self-righteous leaders who trusted in their place where they were born, that they were children of Abraham. Even stranger is that John says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I mean, John, I don't know much, but I'm pretty sure you just said, "Repent and be baptized." So what is John doing to Isaiah's vision? Is he going against Isaiah's vision? Or maybe we actually get a little hint about the fact that he does use these terms, about the fact that he does use these same images. These tell us a few things about Christ's redemption. On the one hand, there's a bit of a hard image, a hard edge on this message. Because on the one hand, this tells us that it's more than simply rote rituals for the sake of doing them. The birth or even affiliation on its own is not a way to God. But at the same time using this language, at the same time about talking about these images, the tree and the snake, quite familiar images actually. These images that are reflective of the Garden of Eden. They're these symbols, these original symbols of sin itself. These same things also tell us that no one is beyond redemption. Hope extends to everyone, no matter how much they may be disdained by society, for no matter what reason, they have hope. And even the Sadducees and the Pharisees have a place in God's kingdom. The lions that have terrorized the sheep become those that give them comfort. The serpents that are the symbol of sin itself become the things that bring joy. And enemies are not destroyed, but they are redeemed. The hope that God brings paints a vision of things we cannot imagine should be, and yet it seems so right because the world is put at peace. This is the vision of hope that we are given in this season of Advent. It is that God's hope is so audacious. It is absurd, and yet more real than we can grasp. It is that there is no one who is out of reach of this hope. No one is beyond redemption. And it is that when all is set right, the very things that caused fear are those things that now bring peace. In this time of Advent, we remember that there is hope, that there is light to come.